Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 202 of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Kim Schlag. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about your metabolism over 40. What do you need to know about your metabolism as a woman over 40? What's changing? What's not changing? And what are three ways you can actually impact your metabolism? Let's go. Today, we are going to be talking about your metabolism over 40. As a woman over 40, what's changing? What's not? What affects your metabolism? And three ways you can actually impact your metabolism. Now, I want you to know, as we're going through this list of things that you can do, please do not be overwhelmed. I know it might feel like, wow, that's a lot. You can put these things into place one at a time. And as all the pieces come together, you're going to be really excited about the results that you get. The things that I'm talking about here today that I'm giving you this high level overview of, these are the things that I can coach you through specifically in Fitter After 40. So keep that in mind. If you want help actually putting this into action in your life, definitely get on the wait list for Fitter After 40. It's open now and the doors will be wide open in 5 weeks. All right, let's jump into this topic. Now, last week, a coach with almost a million followers shared a post about midlife metabolism on Instagram. It was a post that was actually written by one of his coaches on his team. This is a very reputable coach, and he had one of his coaches collaborate with him on a post about midlife metabolism. Her post said, and I'm going to quote it here, "People in their 40s think their metabolism has slowed down. It hasn't. What's actually changed? They've become more sedentary. They drink alcohol weekly. They eat calorie-dense foods. It's not your metabolism. It's your habits." Now, the comments went wild. There were well over 1,000 comments on the post, many of them from upset women over 40. I want to read one of the comments that kind of encapsulates the general mood of the women in the comment section. She says, "This, I can assure you, is untrue for me. I've increased my workout time, averaging over an hour a day, 7 days a week. I eat 1,000 to 1,500 calories a day. I have lost 0 pounds and I have 30 to lose. So don't tell women going through menopause this. It's BS." Now, this was not an isolated woman. Loads of women jumping in saying, "Nope, it is definitely not my habits. It's my metabolism. It's my hormones." I will say this, the tone of the original post could have been improved upon a lot. Factually, what they said was correct, but the caption included phrases like, "This is going to sting," and "People love to blame everything on age," and "People want an excuse that doesn't involve their own choices." I actually haven't found those things to be true with the midlife women that I work with, and I want to get back to that in just a few minutes. This original post, it was scientifically accurate. It did lack acknowledgement that menopause makes fat loss difficult. That acknowledgement was added to a follow-up post, which frankly garnered just as much upset in the comment section. Again, it was like over 1,700 more comments, a lot of them not very accepting of the message that was being conveyed, though it was scientifically sound. This second post looked at the literature pertaining to fat loss in menopause. And I want to go over some of that literature with you here and then talk about what it means for you. And I do want to put it in context of how is menopause making you feel? What are your additional hurdles? Okay, some things we know about menopause and fat loss. One, there are decreases in lean mass and increases in fat mass in menopause. Two, these changes in lean mass and fat mass are similar with age, regardless of menopausal status. Three, lean mass declines with aging. We know that starting at age 30, lean mass declines at about 3% per decade. Four, reductions in basal metabolic rate, your basal metabolic rate or BMR, that's the calories you need just to keep you alive. If you were like literally laying in bed doing nothing, your BMR, that's the calories you would need just to keep yourself alive. And we know that reductions in basal metabolic rate during menopause are due to one, the loss of lean mass that I mentioned just a minute ago, and two, decreased physical activity. And then the fifth thing we know about fat loss in menopause is that resistance training and regular exercise has been shown to prevent the decline in lean mass. Now, another piece of scientific literature I think it's really important to bring up here. In 2021, a scientist by the name of Herman Ponser and his team measured energy expenditure across the lifespan. They used a large database over 6,000 people ranging in age from 8 days old to 95 years old. And 64% of the subjects were female. What they found is that between 20 and 60 years old, total energy expenditure remained stable. Okay, so their metabolism is not declining. It's remaining stable up until age 60. And even after age 60, when there was a decline shown, it was a slight decline. We're talking 0.7, not 7% per year, but 0.7%. There was no difference between women and men in this large study. All of this that I've shared with you so far is incredibly good news. It's good news. It puts you firmly in the driver's seat. And I'm going to outline exactly how it puts you in the driver's seat here in just a minute. But first, I want to return to what I said a few minutes ago about how there seems to be this perception that people love to blame everything on their age or people want an excuse. I actually have not found that to be true with the midlife women that I work with. What I have found is that these women have heard so many times the message that their metabolism is broken because of menopause, because of hormones, because of their age. It's broken. They're broken. That the changes they are observing in their body are just how it is now. They hear this online. They hear this from their peers and even shockingly from their doctors. Yikes. Is it any wonder they feel discouraged? They feel hopeless. It's not that they are looking for excuses. They are being presented with them. They are being told that they're a victim of their hormones and their age. When women learn that, in fact, there are things they can do to improve their situation, they aren't annoyed. They're not annoyed that they can't now blame their age or their hormones. They're ecstatic. They're elated. It is such a relief to know that they can take their results into their own hands. Okay, so what exactly can you do to take those results into your own hands? I talked a little bit earlier about lean mass declining and the impact that that has. Though your lean mass does begin to decline 3% per decade after age 30, there's a big if coming. There's a big caveat. It will decline if you do nothing to prevent that decline. How do you prevent it? Two ways. First, you strength train with progressive overload. You need to be lifting weights to increase your lean mass. Now, there are a lot of programs that are really cardio with weights in your hands. And you might think like, oh, I do lift weights. I have weights in my hand. But a lot of programs, boot camp style classes, body pump style classes, these are not bad. Movement is movement. And with only a quarter of Americans meeting the physical activity guidelines, I'm not about to discourage any type of movement. But, and this is a big but, these forms of exercise are not providing enough stimulus long-term to build muscle. You need to be able to lift with progression. You need to be able to do more work over time, specifically lifting heavier weights or more reps with the same weight up to a point. You can't just keep adding on weights, on reps forever. You need to be able to have enough weight to create a stimulus. And we're talking definitely less than 30 reps. It's going to be most efficient if you keep most of your sets somewhere in that like 6 to 15 rep range. I do have my Fitter After 40 members work in multiple different rep ranges. We'll have some of their lifts be in a heavier rep range, like 4 to 6, and then we'll have a bunch of their exercises in more of that 8 to 10, and then we'll have some at the end of their workouts in that 12 to 15 rep range. Rarely do I go over that. It's just an inefficient use of your time. Okay, so you need to be working doing progressive overload, lifting heavier over time. And this is really important. You need to be having your sets be hard sets, meaning that you take your sets within a few reps of failure. That means you take your sets to a point where you could only do one or two more reps with good form. This is key to muscle growth. Incredibly important. Just doing a bunch of reps, if they're not close enough to failure, is not going to be able to create the stimulus your muscle needs to grow. The other important point here is taking dedicated rest breaks. Now, I'm not talking about 10-second rest breaks or breaks, and I'm putting that word in air quotes here, breaks that include you doing like high knees or burpees. Those aren't breaks. I'm talking bare minimum 60-second breaks between your sets, ideally a bit longer. Most of the rest breaks that I program for my Fitter After 40 members are between 90 seconds to 2 minutes long. This enables them to recover enough to push really hard in their next set so that they can have enough stimulus to grow. And every time you hear me talking about muscle growth, I want you to hear that as toned, if that helps you better picture the look that you're going for. A lot of women are like, oh, muscle growth, and they get a picture of, you know, some big ripped dude. And the word that might fit better for you is toned. We're talking about the same thing. Toned is building muscle and losing fat where appropriate. So whenever you hear me talking about muscle growth, think toned, if that helps you picture better the look that you're going for. Okay, so the first thing you can do to take the results that you want into your own hands is to reduce the decline in lean muscle mass by building muscles through strength training. Going along with that is the second thing that you can do. It's kind of the other side of the coin about stopping that decline in lean mass and building more lean mass is eating enough protein. This works in tandem with the strength training. The training gives your muscles the stimulus to grow, but they can't grow without the raw materials to do so. Those raw materials are the amino acids found in protein. You can't build a castle without bricks, no matter how much sweat equity you put into building it, right? Same thing here. You need to give your body the supplies to build those muscles. Again, don't picture Dwayne The Rock Johnson here when I say build those muscles. Picture toned arms and legs. You need to give your body the building blocks to do that. And those building blocks are found in protein. Eat enough protein. A good first goal here, and one that is quite challenging, frankly, for a lot of women, is starting with a base of 100 grams of protein daily. Now, it's highly likely if you're eating a standard American diet and you have not been actively working to increase your protein, that you're getting half as much as that right now. A lot of the women who come to me are eating 50-ish grams of protein. Now, the RDA for protein is just 0.36 grams per pound, which is 54 grams for a woman who is 150 pounds. But remember, the RDA is the amount needed to prevent deficiency. That's not what you're going for here. You're looking to do more than that. You want to improve your body composition. So you need more protein than that. Research suggests 0.72 to 1 gram of protein per pound of lean body weight. Now, it's important to know that in menopause, our muscles are less sensitive to protein, so we need to eat enough of it. I set my Fitter After 40 members protein goal at a minimum of 0.8 grams per pound of lean mass once they get to that first step of 100 grams of protein per day. First, we work to get them to 100 grams of protein per day, then we shoot for 0.8 grams per pound of lean mass. And then the next step is to focus on spreading that protein out throughout the day. First priority is getting enough. Second priority is going to be spreading it out throughout the day. Okay, those are two big pieces here. Your strength training, you're eating a high protein diet, working on spreading that protein out throughout the day. The third thing you can do to combat the effects of age and menopause on your ability to lose weight and have an optimal body composition is get your NEAT up. NEAT stands for non exercise, activity, thermogenesis. This is all of the movement we do outside of exercise. So there's eat and there's neat. Those are the two kinds of movement that make up a piece of our metabolism. Eat is exercise activity thermogenesis, which is actually a really small percentage of your total metabolism. And then there's neat, which is non-exercise activity thermogenesis, which is actually a really big portion, or can be, depending on how much you do of it. A lot of this neat is spontaneous. Movement we do spontaneously, and it varies greatly from person to person. Do you know someone in your life who's always in motion? My husband is this way. He paces nonstop, always pacing, always jiggling his leg. I actually have to put my hand on his knee to stop him sometimes because like the whole table is shaking, or because the bench we're sitting on, like I'm starting to get a little queasy because it's moving so much. We're all rattling around. He just naturally moves a lot, fidgets a lot. I, on the other hand, do neither of those things without forethought. Do I pace to keep my steps up? Yes, I do. But that's because I'm actively keeping an eye on my steps. He's not pacing for that reason. He just naturally does it. If I wasn't purposely doing this, I would not be moving nearly as much naturally. Non-exercise activity is a massive opportunity for increasing the total number of calories your body expends in a day. Though neat is technically spontaneous activity, we can take advantage of our knowledge of it by utilizing all the time in the day where we can add in bits of movement. The easiest way to do this is to get a step tracker. It does not have to be an expensive one, right? You don't need to go out and buy an Apple Watch or the nicest Fitbit. It can be just a super cheapie. They sell them on Amazon for like 13 bucks. Get a step tracker and work on increasing your steps. Does not have to be long walks, does not have to be treadmill time. It could include both of those, but it could also be pacing on work calls, walking around the kitchen while you're microwaving your lunch, getting out of the car for a walk while you're waiting for your daughter to be done soccer practice instead of scrolling on your phone, taking the stairs instead of the elevator, using the bathroom that's furthest from your desk, 5 to 10 minute walks after every meal, a family bike ride instead of a family movie night. Look for ways to move more throughout your day. Shoot for a minimum of 7,500 steps and get somewhere between 7,500 to 12,000 steps each day. Now, those are the three places that you can focus your attention so that you're not struggling with this loss of lean mass and less physical activity. Of course, with all of this, we need to acknowledge that menopause makes this difficult. When you're symptomatic, you have hot flashes, you're low on energy, you have vertigo, you have aching joints, et cetera, et cetera. And the list is long. There's like 40 different symptoms of menopause. And each woman will navigate that differently. Each woman will have a different cluster of symptoms. And some women sail through with no symptoms. Many women are highly symptomatic, and each woman's experience will be different. Whichever cluster of symptoms you're having, it can be harder to get to the gym, harder to push yourself with the weights, harder to move more with various symptoms. If you're low on energy, you're having hot flashes, your joints are aching, it makes all of these things more challenging. The only way that menopause has helped me move more is the dang brain fog. Like, I alternate between losing my glasses and my phone and my AirPod case all day long. So I'm walking all over the house trying to locate them. Otherwise, it's just presented more hurdles for me. We have more hurdles in menopause. We also have more hurdles in this stage of life, in midlife. A lot of us are busy with our careers. We are raising our children, and now maybe we're also taking care of our aging parents. In my case, I am making plans to see how I can start traveling to Tennessee more. My mom and my stepdad and my younger sister live in Tennessee. My mom is 73 years old. My stepfather is 81 years old. And my sister, who is 49, she has Down syndrome. And she is 2 years into an Alzheimer's diagnosis, and just month to month at this point is beginning to decline more and more. And so it's already weighing on my mind, like, how can I get there to help them more? As women in midlife, we have so many responsibilities. As we successfully navigate the added hurdles we have, the physical symptoms of menopause, improving our sleep quality and quantity, creating more time for ourselves to be at the top of our to-do list in spite of all of the responsibilities we have, managing our stress levels, as we do all of these things and navigate these hurdles, we can and will be successful at losing weight and maintaining that weight loss. Menopause and aging cannot keep you from losing weight, improving your body composition, and maintaining your weight loss and muscle gains. You have so much control. Remember that. It's important to know that. All right, friend, I'm going to be back here again with you next week. Our topic next week is going to be, how much weight can you lose in a month? I'm going to catch you then. Until then, remember, if you want help acting on the things you've learned about today, how to actually start lifting progressively, how to eat more protein, how to move more, taking into consideration your own individual life circumstances, your own challenges, navigating your particular hurdles, join me in Fitter After 40. That is what you and I will do there together. The doors open in just over 5 weeks. Get your name on that wait list ASAP. All right, the link is in the show notes. I'm going to catch you next week. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I hope you found it motivational, inspirational, educational, organizational. If you did find value in this episode today, it would mean a great deal to me if you would leave a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to this episode on. It really does help to get this podcast in front of other people. Thanks so much for being here.